Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com. RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Koontz. Anna Hummel is right here next to me via the internet, which is unusual. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. We do live stream every Wednesday around the 5 and 6 o'clock hour, somewhere between there. I encourage you to go subscribe to the YouTube channel, which you can find on my website, HMBRadio.com. Whew, that's a lot. All right, let's just get into it. Let's do it. We got a special guest coming in. It's going to be a good time. Happy to be with you, and let's party. How's it going, Anna Hummel?
It's going great. Everything's awesome.
Anna Hummel's joining me from her palatial estate somewhere in St. Petersburg, Florida. She couldn't make it here today. Oh, boy. Oh, no. Don't give away. Don't give away your secrets. I don't want people to get jealous of how you're living here.
I know.
Yeah. I actually like this better, to tell you the truth.
Doing it remotely?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I think it looks better. The screen looks better right now. Your head's not cut off. That's really good. And I also like that no one's in my home. I like that a lot. You know, I don't know. I think the trade off is that your audio stinks because what are you recording on right now? A laptop?
An iPad.
An iPad. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know they still made those.
Yeah, I know. My laptop is no longer functioning right now, and I feel like I've been working with the iPad for like a year now, and I have computers at work, and so it's like, there's no need.
Can I tell you something? And it's a pet peeve. And you're doing it right now. Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I noticed that when the pandemic happened, there was, I guess it's still happening technically, but you know what I mean? When it first started, it kind of caught everybody off guard for the most part. And there was these TV comedians, late night people, you know, et cetera, that had to, well, they decided they still wanted to do their programs. Samantha Bee, Conan O'Brien, you know, Colbert, those people.
Alan.
None of them had a microphone.
Mm.
And being in the biz, you would think that you would have some sort of, you know, microphone handy because you never know when you're going to be doing something like this or whatever. In fact, I'm just going to buy you one. Can I just buy you one?
Please don't. I actually have, I feel like I have several in my closet, actually.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
But here's the thing. And I don't know if I'd be able to maybe, I don't know if you ever helped me try to hook it up to an iPad before. I certainly don't want to buy just a laptop for this, just this one situation. But I was gifted a whole podcasting set years ago and never used it. And I have a bunch of mics. Obviously, you can't just pop open the mic. You need to do it with the Rode, not the Rodecaster, but whatever. There are all these different moving parts.
Yeah.
And not that I'm like technologically, but a little bit. And I think I just, I always just kind of skirted around it because I always had a studio to work with.
Yeah.
Until like the pandemic hit. And then it was like, oh, I actually need this. But then we were meeting in person for 2 years. So,
yeah, but I mean, I think that's better. I know that you prefer it. I think it probably is a better product. And if I had more room here at my little setup, I think it would be even better. But I just don't. I live in a tiny mold-infested apartment in downtown St. Petersburg, and you're not much better with where you're staying. So it is what it is. But, okay, so I could excuse you, too, because it's not like you're rolling in dough. But you are in the biz. And I would like to help you if you have any questions. I know how to get a microphone on your iPad. I can do that.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Of course I do.
Then
I'm in the biz.
I should have one by next week.
Okay, terrific.
I have it, but I mean, in terms of it being set up, if you can help me,
yep.
Then it should be good to go.
I can.
For next week, I have the equipment, and I would like to actually learn how to use it.
I will send.
And actually use it after 5 years of having it in my closet.
I will send you the connection pieces that you need. I just need a little bit more information, and we'll get it set up for you. But there was these, I mean, you really have no excuse if you are, these people are millionaires, multi-millionaires like Conan and Colbert, et cetera, et cetera. They're talking to their laptops, and it looks terrible. It's a bad look, you know, it just doesn't look professional. And I understand that I guess some of them are teetering on the age of boomers and, you know, obviously boomers and technology don't go hand in hand, but they're not that old, you know, and also
can pay someone to do it for them.
Exact. And I know it was short notice, but for God's sakes, you have access to networks. You have CBS and NBC. You think they could rig something up for you?
Send over one engineer. They'll get it done.
Yeah.
So, you're right. But to be honest with you, I never worked remotely ever.
The whole time, never?
No.
Oh, wow.
I mean, with podcasts and stuff, but in terms of anything that I was getting paid for, no, I didn't work remotely. I always went in person. Like you said, I always think it's a better product when you have everybody in the room. So
yeah,
that's okay.
So I'm doing a Saturday show, a Saturday morning show.
Remotely, now. Right?
No, not remotely. I've been going in, but I could potentially do it from home. Right now, it's too new, and it's like people paying for this service. So I want to make sure that they're happy and everything. But what I'm trying to do is, you know, these are doctors and they have, you know, beautiful wives and mistresses and children and all these things. So they, you know, their time's valuable. It's Saturday morning. You don't want to have to travel, you know, to St. Pete.
No, you just did a bunch of coke the night before.
Exactly.
You know? surgery in the morning, Coke in the evening.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. Okay. Yeah, that makes way more sense for them.
I'm talking about the successful people.
Yeah. I can't afford cocaine. Crack, yes, not cocaine. I'm going to send Johnny B a message, too, and see if he wants to pop in. He did celebrate his 50th birthday. Oh, there he is.
I know.
Right there. Send him a link.
I am not 55. I am legally 50, you know. But, you know, I don't feel older today. You know, I still feel like a youngster, man. I'm a little pep in my step. I got up today. I was moving around a little faster, you know. I'm trying to, you know, trim up a little bit, you know. You know, I'm good.
He's on a mission. I told him, I said, Johnny, you have to go treat yourself to some sort of thing on your birthday. You can't not celebrate. You should. And he's really dedicated to this weight loss, which I commend him for. And that's wonderful. However, if there's any day to spoil yourself and enjoy something, it's today.
Yeah. I mean,
happy birthday, Johnny B. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Birthdays aren't what they used to be. They get more depressing the closer to the Grim Reaper you get. But
oh, God, Jesus.
You know what I mean? Like, you start, you know, the older you get, you start thinking about mortality a little more. Somebody sent me a message yesterday. They're like, happy 50th. You're now just as close to 80 as you are to 20. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Never say that to me again. You know, but the fact is, we're only here for a second in the big scheme of things. So, like Anna, for instance, she's only here for a second in the big scheme of things. And, yeah, you know, you just got to enjoy it while we're here. You know, I'm trying not to be depressed over it.
Oh, my God, what a mess. I don't even know if I can use this. Do you think it's as usable to edit up and then try to make a podcast out of it? I don't know.
You got to be creative with it. I've done that in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, Anna, why don't you cut off your cam and just use the microphone? Okay, perfect.
You can't see my face.
Even better.
Tremendous. It's probably for the best, honestly. Yeah, we're good.
No, for real. Yeah, happy birthday. I don't want to spoil my face.
No, it's good.
Did you treat yourself other than a guilt of eating carrot cake?
No, I mean, I don't feel like I robbed myself of any happiness. I had a meeting yesterday for lunch with a potential client, you know, in the comedy realm. And this guy was buying lunch. You know, I had the whole menu, whatever I wanted. And I ended up ordering like a shrimp wrap and some steamed broccoli. And it was delicious. And I was happy with it. And then for dinner, I wanted to go out. You know, Leah really wanted to take me out. And I wanted to have a delicious dinner, you know, something nice, but not go crazy. So I went out and I had a nice piece of sea bass with some crab topping that was a little bit of a buttercream sauce. So, you know, I haven't had dairy
in
5 weeks.
No, that's keto.
Yeah, well, I'm not really doing keto. I'm doing calorie deficit more than anything, because that's like the foolproof, you know, you can't really fail if you're in a calorie deficit. So
right.
I'm trying to do that, and I'm avoiding sugar altogether. I haven't had sugar in 5 weeks. I haven't had dairy, no alcohol in 5 weeks. It's crazy. So I'm trying to just be clean and calorie deficit, you know, just to get me, you know, get myself on track. And as soon as I hit, you know, that 100-pound mark, then, you know, then I'll loosen up a little bit and allow myself, you know, to live a little bit of a maintenance kind of a life and not be a complete weirdo. But yeah, so we went out, I had a piece of fish, and then for dessert, we did share one piece of this carrot cake. It was this molten carrot cake, and it was delicious. Oh my God, it was so good. It was the first time I had sugar in 5 weeks, and I thought, I'm going to probably, you know, mess my pants, because my body's like, what's all this? But I didn't poop my pants. It was great.
That's tremendous. Good for you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, yeah. I on this journey where you haven't weighed today, you're going to weigh in tonight on the Johnny B Show, right?
Right.
All right. Let me bring her back. There she is. Okay.
I have a feeling it's not going to be good results this week, but you know what? That's fine. I haven't cheated at all. Like, as far as I haven't eaten anything crazy except for that carrot cake, you know, but you know, it's just been one of those weeks where it's like, I haven't slept well this week. You know, I've been doing a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of different things going on. I had some insomnia for a couple of days. So we'll see. I do feel lighter. I feel better. Sometimes the scale doesn't always reflect results. You know, like I do my clothes are fitting, you know, really, really well. I'm, you know, so things are on the right path. So we'll see what the weigh-in is tonight for weigh-in Wednesday on our show later on the bone.
Yeah, I haven't weighed myself, and I'm trying to lose weight too. And I don't really talk about it because I feel like I'm stealing your thunder if I talk about it. But
no,
I haven't weighed myself in a while. But I'm doing pretty much the same thing you're doing, is, you know, the calorie deficit thing, and then I just eat two of those NTT meals that I get, and I have I had an orange today, the Sumo Citrus. You ever had those?
I don't. Is that a brand of orange? Sumo Citrus.
It's got like a little nub on top of it, and it's super easy to peel.
Like a navel orange.
It's a mandarin orange, but it's like a crossbreed. Some Japanese guy made it, and it's I don't know how they do that, but he crossbred this thing. It's amazing. They're so good. They're a little bit sweeter than a mandarin, and they. What? Hello?
Her internet's in a calorie deficit right now.
Yeah, it is. So I have like one of those, two of those meals. So I'm sitting at like 1,200 calories a day during the week. And then I go run or whatever. So I haven't weighed myself. I'm very curious, though, but I can definitely tell. I can feel shrinking a little bit.
Yeah.
And I got to weigh myself. I saw a scale at my friend's house, and I was like, oh, good. And I stepped on it. It didn't work. So I was like, I hope it didn't break a scale. But for whatever reason, it didn't work. But I'm curious because I'm working hard. But I'm almost afraid because I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I don't want to get discouraged by stepping on a scale and then being like, oh, this is useless. Just forget about it. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah. And we talk about that all the time, you know, being discouraged. Like I have a feeling tonight, you know, it's not going to be great results on the scale. But I do feel better in a lot of the other ways, like, you know, just little things like getting out of bed, how you feel when you get out of bed. You know, do you hop up on your feet? Do you gradually get up onto your feet? Do you limp to the bathroom when you get out of bed? These are things that fat middle-aged people, this is very normal, even not even fat, just people in their 40s, you start feeling this stuff, and it's very common. Even in your 30s, you know, you start feeling like, oh crap, you know, like, why are my bones hurting so much? Why is all this happening? And all those things have gotten better over the last few weeks. So, you know, like today, you know, I get out of bed and first thing I do is go walk the dogs. Before let's peel the curtain back for the listeners. Before I would go to the back patio door, I would open the door for the dogs, and then I would sit on the arm of the couch and wait for them because I just didn't even want to be standing at that point. Now I'm going outside with them and I'm almost running with them. You know, I'm out there messing around with them. I'm, you know, like being a little bit more of a normal person. You know, I'm doing my morning walks, you know, doing a mile minimum, you know. Good. So, you know, these are the things that, you know, that isn't really showing on the scale, you know, every day, but it's things that I can see. And like I said, my clothes are fitting a lot better than, even though I'm wearing a shirt that says butter, bacon, caffeine, and carbs, and bourbon. It's a voodoo chef shirt, but, you know, it's
that's the real, that's almost better than what the scale says, is when you can fit into a shirt that you used to be able to fit into.
I got this at a Voodoo Chef event a year ago. I've never worn it because it wouldn't fit me at all. It was like a halter top. If I tried to put it on, it was the biggest size. It was the biggest size he had. Now I'm starting to put try these shirts on. I'm like, okay, pretty cool. I like it, you know? So yeah, I mean, and it's only 5 weeks in, you know, I'm excited to see where I'll be before, you know, the wedding, which the goal is in December to be down 100 pounds. So Woo! Far 22 pounds on the scale, but I feel like I feel 40 pounds lighter physically, but awesome. We'll see.
I don't know if you already talked about this, but are you still taking the Fen-Phen?
It's not Fen-Phen, but yeah, I do have, I took last week off because I destroyed my feet. If you want to see that, go on the Johnny B Show Facebook page or the Instagram. I got new shoes and I decided to wear them without socks. And
who does that?
I don't know. I'm an idiot. I don't know. And so I didn't take the meth last week because I couldn't do any, I couldn't walk. So I couldn't really do any exercise. I just took the week off, the full week off, and I didn't want to waste the medicine if I didn't, wasn't going to get the full benefit. I think the thing is with that is that you have the energy to like do more than you normally would, exercise harder. I think I'm pretty used to it though by now. You don't have that initial kick anymore. And I only have about 2 weeks supply left of that. And then I'm probably done with it. I don't think you can stay on it too long because you'll die. Huh?
Keep it going. You don't want to up the ante and keep it going.
I think you'll die if you stay on it too long.
But you'll be hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I kind of got it under control anyways. I think it kind of sets the pattern for you too, you know, of what you, how you kind of spend your days and what time you eat. I don't know. Maybe not. I feel like I'm going to be good to go afterwards though. But yeah, I got a few weeks of that and I haven't stepped on the scale though, Anna. So I don't know what I weigh right now, but I feel.
But you do look slimmer. I saw you, I've seen you the last few weeks. You definitely look slimmer.
Yeah. And some other people who don't see me regularly have told me that. So I'm like, oh, okay. That's another sign is when you fit into shirts and people who haven't seen you a while go, oh, you look like you're slim. That's uh-huh. what's up. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. You were really panicked about that. I remember.
I mean, it was shocking. The number that popped up on the scale was so disturbing that I think I told you guys, but it was like when in Tommy Boy where he messes up the door at the gas station and then tries to, you know, fix it back together. And when David Spade opens the door, it just falls off. And he goes, "What'd you do?" That's the way my doctor looked at me. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I'm scared. Yeah, it's good to get back on track, but
something
I guess
a little meth doesn't fix. So
yeah, I mean, I will say it does have its benefits. Certainly. Mm-hmm. You can't do it long term, but I'm enjoying it while I have it. I got about 2 more weeks of it and then, I'll gain 30 pounds. So that Hell should yeah. be exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
Now before I have to peace out quickly, and I know this is a topic that, no one's discussed. But do you think the slap was staged? Because I still don't know.
Okay, so Johnny and I have talked about this.
Okay.
I think it's fake. But okay. I think everything's fake. I think it's fake for a few reasons. Now, I saw there's a lot of, much like anything else, there's a lot of misinformation going on about there on the internet. Yeah, I saw a pretty clear Photoshopped image, but it looked real. You know, Photoshop... You can, you know, it looks real. And it was a pad that somebody, I guess, Photoshopped on Chris Rock's face. And the implication was that it softens the blow. And we're obviously talking about the Oscars, Chris Rock, Will Smith getting into a fight, essentially, and Will Smith smacking Chris Rock at the Oscars. But I don't think it works that way. I think if you still get slapped, you're still getting the impact. So I don't know what a little bit of padding would do for that.
Did you see the videos of Will Smith showing how to fake slap someone?
I did see that.
I'm sure that
online,
you saw those surface. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, what was this from like 15 years ago? But the kid was wearing a mask. So I think it was pretty recently because it was COVID times. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. I know that viewers and people watching... These award shows, the audience members have plummeted. Nobody watches these award shows anymore. But maybe they will now because they might want to see if there's going to be violence, a fight, a brawl, if you will.
So,
you know,
the it had before the slap happened, it was bombing. Nobody was really watching it. Then the slap happened. It went viral on social media. Ratings jumped up 56%. It was still the second lowest audience ever for the Oscars, even with that 56% bump from what I saw. Obviously I'm a conspiracy minded, so I go, I know what this is about. It's like nobody's going to remember anything else about that Oscars except that moment. And the Oscars are going to become the VMAs. Kanye jumping on stage and yelling at Taylor Swift. And they're going to have to one-up it because obviously the ratings went up from this.
Hugely.
So they're going to have to keep it going. And there's going to have to be events that happen now in order to get people tuned in. And I think that there's a lot of value in that, especially like the Oscars type of thing, because there's a lot of there's a prestige factor there. There was, you know, Clark Gable, there's Marilyn Monroe, all these people. When you didn't know that these people were empty vessels, you know, you kind of looked up to them. You saw them in the movies, and you
right.
and you kind of admired them, and oh, they're so glamorous, you know. But they're morons. I mean, they're truly they're not human beings. They're robots who are, you know, programmed to do whatever people want them to do. That's what acting is, right? And then it became, you know, uber political. I guess it even was in the 70s and stuff. But you really got to, with the invention of social media, we really got to know these celebrities, and we found out that they are awful.
Vapid, soulless demons.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Very well said. And then I think people went, I don't need to watch this. Also, I didn't know any of the movies. Did you all know any of the movies? The people that won for the movies?
Who's gone to a movie theater in the last 2 years? I don't even know.
I have, but not to see something called CODA. You know, like, I didn't even know what that was. It was like, is an acronym for something. I don't know. I mean, I go to see like Ghostbusters because I like to go to the movies to be entertained, right. Or Spider-Man or something. But yeah, no, nobody does. Nobody goes to the movies for that crap. And you're right, Will. Social media has really opened up a lot of people's eyes to just what scumbags most of these people are. The Hollywood machine is just a bunch of doo-doo. It's a bunch of crap. And it's made me hate so many people and have no respect for so many people, including athletes and people like that. Like before, like nobody knew what Larry Bird thought about things. Nobody knew what, you know, Larry Zonka thought about things back in the old days. But now we know that LeBron James is opinionated on everything that Hollywood tells him to be opinionated on. And I think he's a giant douche because of it. Now I don't want to watch a Lakers game because I think these guys are a bunch of prima donna little bitches. Excuse my language. But you know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with Hollywood. Like, I wish I would have never known so much about Will Smith. I wish I didn't have to dislike him now because of how he did it. And it wasn't about just smacking Chris Rock. It was about him stealing the entire show with his little outburst, his little, let me prove that I'm a man to my wife and I'm not this giant cuck that everybody knows that I am. And that she openly cheated on me with the teenager. And now I got a man up. But he stole the thunder. Like, nobody even is thinking about Questlove winning an Oscar. You know what I mean? Nobody's thinking about anybody else. He took the limelight away from all these people that worked so hard to get to a point where they're even nominated for an Oscar. He did it all for the most selfish reasons ever, so he could prove to his bald-headed bitch wife that he is a man. Shut up. I hate it. I hate him for it. I really do. I dare him to slap me in the face.
You know what's funny about that? Well, it's not funny. It's really comes down, like, you knew it was coming. And it was, why are these jokes? Forbes put out an article. I follow Forbes on Twitter. Forbes put out an article the next day. Why are these jokes always at the expense of black women?
Great question.
I guess Donald Trump is a black woman. I had no idea because, oh my God, he gets razzed all the time. And it, you know, let's keep in mind too, Chris Rock is black. It seems like that's valuable information to have.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was grateful for. I'm like, I'm glad both parties here are black. Otherwise, there would be riots in the street.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's even still happening. And Chris Rock produced a documentary, didn't he, about black women's hair?
Good
or something?
Hair.
Yes.
Good hair. Yes. I saw it. It was great. It was great film.
It wasn't a racial thing at all, but of course, you know, in this day and age, it took about 30 seconds for everybody to make it that. I mean, if you ever go on TikTok, and I know Will, you don't, but I mean, I'm on there and I like to scroll and check out the doo doo that sits festering in there. And there's a lot of them out there now, or there's these influencers on TikTok, you know, that a lot of black folks, you know, younger, you know, and probably more girls than not. And I see them saying, hey, white people, you don't get to have an opinion on what happened between Chris Rock and Will Smith. And I'm like, We're all consumers. We all saw it happen. And everybody, we all get to have an opinion on it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to shut up because I'm a white guy that saw something happen on the Oscars.
Shame on you.
What are you talking about? I don't get to have an opinion. And the other big opinion out there is, you know, this is, we don't understand black rage between two black people. It's like, what are you talking? Are you trying to say, as a black person, I wanted to respond to this lady. I want to say, are you trying to say that you guys can't control yourselves? Like, what are you saying?
Don't say that. Don't say that.
But you know what I'm saying? That you're being ridiculous. Yeah. That you're talking down about your own people, which is wrong. You know, like, what are you doing? These folks are they're human beings like everybody else. It's called equality. Let's treat everybody the same. Don't say, well, Will Smith couldn't control himself because he's a black. Will Smith's a one percenter. He is super elite. He smacked a person on live TV and got to sit back down and enjoy a drink and go accept an award later instead of being drug out like anybody else that would have hit anybody else in a public setting.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do have to get going. And I will be leaving on purpose this time. But sorry about the connection issues. I think I got it sorted out, but I do apologize for that.
Well, Anna, this was a disaster. And I thank you for coming. Anyways, we're going to get you set up with a microphone next week. And we'll talk. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Love
you. All right, Johnny. Yes, I agree. And let's just wrap, you know, I guess we can kind of wrap this up here. I didn't really know what else to talk about. I was like, I don't know if the Chris Rock thing is it still the biggest story in the country? I'm not sure. It very well may be. But the hot takes from media was what I was really interested in. And it was all the regular offenders, Forbes, The Atlantic. I don't know. Have you ever read The Atlantic?
I can't get through a whole article, but I know what they're about. I read their headlines. Like, I'm a lot like you, you know, I read headlines, I get humor from a lot of it, and then I'll delve into, you know, the body of the work if I want to, but then it takes about three sentences to figure out where we're going. And sometimes I don't go all the way.
It's, I think it's written for journalists where they kind of fart in a wine glass and then they just like, give it a good whiff.
Sommelier of doo-doo news. Yeah. Yes, I like it.
Yeah, it's like Jemele Hill, the former ESPN anchor. She writes for The Atlantic, and it's just non-stop. I don't know. You would think even people that were into that would be like, can you just tell me about what's going on with the team I like, please? I need a break.
That's what's happening, though, Will. I notice it. You notice it. A lot of this is being like driven so hard that even people that were, you know, like-minded are getting tired. There's this fatigue where you go, all right, dude, like, can we just stop already? Like, it doesn't have to always be this, you know, like she's a talented journalist, but she just seems to be on this one way track with one mission, you know? And it's like, I don't want to consume it. Like, I know what you're doing. And it's disgusting. And I'm that way with so many people that I know are talented, that I know are good at what they do, but I don't want to listen anymore to so many different people. And it's down to even great entertainers, you know, guys like Jon Stewart, guys like Howard Stern, you know, that I'm like, I used to be such a big fan of that. I go, I just can't with these people anymore. And it's sad. And they did it. I didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does suck that there's, you know, it's weird, though, like even a lot of the big offenders online that are friends of ours. And then we see them in person and they're lovely, perfect, lovely human beings. And they don't talk anything, you know, anything politics related or it's, and they're great. Because I think I don't like a lot of people, and then I see them, and I go, oh, you're cool. I forgot you were kind of cool, and you had a life, and you weren't just a loser online posting to, I don't know what you expect to get out of these posts, but I guess it's some sort of virtue signal and social capital that they kind of gained from that. But my God, you just knew it was coming, and sure enough, all the big offenders came out with these articles that this was offensive to black women always get the short end of the stick. And I just go, it's Chris Rock's black, though. I don't understand.
By the way, Will, I do want to say this for people listening. Most of the people that are posting these things saying that, you know, this is a black issue, white people stay out of it. It's white people that are posting this stuff. Most of the people that I've seen.
Well, most of the country's white.
I think most black people see this and go, you're being ridiculous. It's you know who they are. It's these super duper woke white folks. I'm like, calm it down. Hey, Tabitha, do an article about making gel, you know, or making whatever you were doing before this became trendy. Like, calm it down.
I will say that when people say you can't have an opinion, I don't agree with that. But I do agree with that. You don't always have to have an opinion, too. Be stoic. Learn from Marcus Aurelius. Be stoic. Nobody has to compel you to take a side or do anything like that. I feel like I have to and you have to because we do a radio show 5 nights a week and we kind of have to have a take on something either way. But you know, you don't need to have a take on everything. Just let it go because you're really powerless to do anything about it anyways. I roll my eyes when I see articles like that, but you laugh at them too. I get a lot of joy and go, look at this. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's crazy, but it's fun.
One thing that, and also to walk back to what you were talking about with, you know, people online that are just psychos and then you talk to them in person and they're sweet people. The thing that I've learned to do over the last couple of years since things have really just gotten out of control since the lockdown, you know, it's like everybody has an opinion and it's one way or the other. The thing that I've learned to do is separate the person that's on social media from the real person because they're not the same two people. And if I wanted to, I can name 10 local comedians right off the top of my head that online, I can't stand them. They're just repulsive, but in person,
lovely,
good friends of mine. And the thing I've learned to do that nobody and a lot of people can't seem to do, and one of the only things I'm proud of myself for is I'm able to separate that and also not dislike somebody because they have a political opinion that's different than mine or because they have a social opinion that's different than mine. You know, I'd be hypocritical, you know, to dislike somebody because they feel a certain way about a certain topic that I don't. I should be able to be friends with that person and they should be able to be friends with me. And I think most people in real life are, but on Facebook and Twitter, they can't be.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just that thing that you feel free saying certain things because they're not right in front of you because you might get smacked, much like a la Will Smith and Chris Rock. Believe it or not, that's how we can tie it up, I guess. By the way, there was that post. Did you? I know you saw it because you said, what? Yeah. That's one of the biggest offenders, and that's one of the people I lovely in person. And it's a local comedian, and it just makes me cringe every time he posts something. But God bless him. I like him whenever I see him.
I love him. So. Yeah. I read posts and I go, what are you doing? And then I let it go. You know, I don't let it, you know, fester and go, you know, and get upset about it. I just go, you know what? That's what they do online. But in person, I'll be the first to give that person a hug, you know?
100%. Johnny, you saved the show. Thanks so much for coming to the stream. Unfortunately, didn't work out with Anna very well. She got here at the end, but thanks for coming by. Johnny B, if you aren't following, I'm sure you probably are if you're watching this, but Johnny B Comedy and Johnny B Tampa on Instagram, Johnny B Comedy on Twitter, and you got your podcast now, the Johnny B Sides Rockin', and you can find that just putting in Johnny B Sides, and it comes right up. Hit the subscribe button, give it 5 stars, much like the Homemade Broadcast. Thanks. Of course, you can follow me on social media as well. Home_made_man on just about everything. My Twitter is now private because I'm job seeking. So I don't want people, potential employers, to look at that. If you send me a request, I'll probably throw you on there unless you have HR or something somewhere in your profile. And thanks for joining us. And make sure you do again. We just must stress, please, if you would. Subscribe to the podcast, give it 5 stars, subscribe on YouTube, hit the bell so you know when we're going live, usually Wednesdays, 5 to 6, somewhere in that time. It's not set, but it's around a time. So we hope you join us. And I think that's it. For Anna Hummel, for myself, and for Johnny B, my name's Will Kuntz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indy Circuit. I guess that's it. HMBRadio.com. 813-693-2124 if you want to get in touch. Sign up for the email list. You know the drill. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.